on a keyboard, an octave is 8 consecutive whole notes. Taking 8 notes, you end on the same pitch or the same key as you begin. So, for instance, if you start at middle C, the octave is C, D, E, F, G, A, B, high C. In the church, an octave is a series of 8 consecutive days. And just as 8 notes lead you to begin and end on the same note, so when you take an octave of 8 days, you begin and end on the same day. So if you begin on Sunday, an octave is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and the next Sunday. Today is the octave day of Christmas. Same day of the week, 8 days later. And often in the liturgical year, the octave day of a great feast is celebrated as a second feast, a sort of echo of the first feast, a feast that is the consequence of the greater first feast, a second feast that gives a commentary in a certain way on the first great feast that's been celebrated. So today, on the octave day of Christmas, we celebrate a second great feast in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God. The Blessed Mother has that title as a way to illustrate more clearly and more fully the mystery that we celebrated 8 days ago in celebrating Christmas, the feast of the Incarnation. One might think that this title, Mother of God, being such an extraordinary title, was the end of a long process of Marian devotion. You know, like those old Catholics, they're very excited about the Blessed Virgin Mary, and they just wanted to say more and more lavish things about her until they finally got to the title Mother of God. But that's not how it happened at all. In fact, the title we celebrate today, Mother of God, is one of the very oldest titles of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We know exactly when it came from, the year 381. A council of bishops that was held that year in the city of Ephesus. You know, councils are always called because there's a problem. The problem in 381 was the understanding of who the Lord Jesus really was, how to understand his person. There was one theory that said, well, Jesus Christ was a human person to whom divinity was attached. So, if that is your understanding, you can say, you would say, you might say, that Mary was the mother of the human child Jesus, whose divinity was also hovering around the stable somehow at that moment, awaiting to be joined to the human person. But at Ephesus, the church said, no, you may not say that. Jesus Christ is a single person with a human and a divine nature. Because of that divine nature, he is a divine person. So the mother who carried him is rightly called she who bore God, or Theotokos in Greek. The council was held in Greek. Blessed Virgin Mary is probably called Theotokos, she who bore God. It comes into English as the mother of God. This feast is really about how we understand that child whose birth we celebrated 1 week ago. There's no denying, though, that in celebrating today this greatest of all Mary's titles, Mother of God, we also emphasize her supreme dignity among the saints. She, of course, was just a creature. She was not the Mother of God in the sense of preceding God in his eternal existence. She began to exist only 9 months before her birth, about 2,000 years ago. But we look to her as the greatest of God's creations in our human race and the greatest of all the saints. You might one day run into someone who disputes that. Maybe a non-Catholic friend who says, well, Mary's role was important, but certainly she was no greater than St. Paul, who wrote the letter to the Romans, which is, of course, more important than any of the Gospels, if you follow a certain Protestant tradition. Here's the answer that you must give. Mary is certainly the greatest of all the saints. Why? Because the essence of sanctity is to love Jesus Christ. And you don't need any theology to know that no one loves a person better than that person's mother. Just on the natural plane, without knowing any theology, only knowing a little bit about human experience, it is always the mother who loves any person the most. And so it is that the Blessed Virgin Mary has greater love for her divine Son than any other saint, and is thereby the greatest of all the saints. Honoring Mary, as we do today, also puts before us a certain challenge for the new year. You know, Mary is the greatest saint because she had the greatest love of her divine Son. The way that we will become saints, the way to sanctity for us, is to love the Lord Jesus better. So the project for the new year is, how can I do that? It's not hard to understand how a mother comes to love her child. Bone of her bone, flesh of her flesh, but then, you know, cradling that child in her arms. It's not hard to understand how the mother's love for that child grows, all that the mother does for that child, that tremendous investment of her whole life that she makes in each of her children. It's not hard to understand that. But we do not see the Lord Jesus as his mother did, nor even as his disciples and apostles did. So how are we to grow in real love for him that is not just an abstraction? It's not just an idea of wanting to love Jesus. Well, we might look to our Blessed Mother for a couple of clues as to the way forward in that project. Last month, during Advent, we celebrated the Feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our understanding, the Church's understanding, that she was conceived 9 months before her own birth without original sin and remained without personal sin through her whole life. This also is very much related to our Blessed Mother's love of her Son Jesus, because It is always sin that interferes with our ability to love others. Because she was without sin, she could love most purely and most perfectly. Sacred Scripture tells us that if anyone says he loves God, yet does not keep the commandments, that one is a liar. And so if we want to grow in love of the Lord Jesus, one way we can do that is to resolve to keep his commandments more faithfully, to separate ourselves more eagerly from our faults and our sins. That will help us love the Lord better. In the first place, if we try to do that in a serious way, we will notice that it is not always easy. And it will drive us to prayer. It will drive us also to look for the real help of the Lord present in the sacraments, to seek his forgiveness in the sacrament of penance. It will shake us out of the illusion we can so easily have that I'm fine, everything is okay, I'm taking care of myself, no problem here. If we try to be a more serious disciple of the Lord in keeping his commandments, practicing the virtues, separating ourselves from our faults and our sins, it will drive us to seek him out, to look for his help. Also, if we begin to do that, we will meet him in the progress, the course of our lives. We will see him present. We will notice his presence as we try to deal with others as he would have us do. And finally, if we have a little success in doing that, following him more faithfully, serving him more faithfully, we will notice that it is a very happy way to live. That we have a lot of peace. We have a lot of satisfaction. We have a lot of joy that we have not had before. And so the love of gratitude will grow. That we will not look at the Lord just as the one who gave us a lot of rules, but the one who showed us a way of life that is really the best way. And our love for him will thereby grow. So that's the first clue the Blessed Mother gives us as to how to grow in love of her divine Son. She was sinless. If we aspire to that, to approximate that, to free ourselves from our sins, we will be able to love the Lord better. And secondly, she gives us a clue in what we see in the gospel of today's Mass. There we're told, Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. We grow in love when we lead a life that is more reflective, in which we take more time to think about the meaning of the one whom we love, how important that person is to us. The Christmas season is often very helpful for that, just within the circle of the family. Even if people don't have a perfectly spiritual celebration of Christmas, it's naturally a time that we think about our loved ones, how important they are to us, what they mean to us, and that makes our love for them grow. You know, in the busyness and the distractions of daily life, it's easy to forget that. You know, we know we love those who are around us, those who are dear to us, but, well, once in a while they annoy us a little bit, and we're just so darn busy doing all the things we have to do. We don't reflect on it. And it isn't given the chance to grow. So Blessed Mother gives us a great example in today's gospel in that regard as well. to reflect on all that the Lord has meant to us, the way that he has been with us in difficult times, how we have faced things and got through things we never thought we could, the difference that he has made in our lives, how different our lives would be if we had no knowledge of him, had no faith in him, had no love for him. To live a life of greater reflection, contemplation, that helps us to grow in love. And that will help us grow in sanctity. It will make us want to love the Lord better, love the Lord more faithfully. And it will make us love the Lord more fruitfully as well. Today we celebrate this echo of Christmas, acknowledging the greatest title of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, remembering that among all the saints, she was first in her love for her divine Son, and asking the Lord, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, to help us grow in love of him, that we might likewise grow in holiness and rejoice in the hope of heaven in this year ahead.